Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends, Teachy Pinkney Epps. How are you?
I am well, Tanya. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here. And also with us is Brian Robertson. How are you?
Doing fine.
Good, good, good. And also with us is Van Nevels. How are you, friend?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad to see you are saving the best for last, as usual.
Okay.
You keep calling or introducing me last.
We're going to start with you first when we lead the show. How about that?
Okay. Fine.
Is that okay?
That's cool.
Okay. And also with us, sitting at the social media desk, and our roving correspondent, Antoinette Baylor. How are you?
I'm doing fine today.
And also behind the scenes is Marcus Evans and Mr. Free. And also joining us later is Jeremiah. Okay. I want to thank all of our listeners for joining our conversation. Phone lines are open, 804-321-1010. Our toll-free number, 844-321-1010. Or you can text us at TanyaFree63975. Let's jump right into it. We had an agenda we were going to follow earlier, but so much is going on, I can't even keep up. I don't even know where to start. With the shooting, it's a shooting almost everywhere, it seems like. Let's start with the shooting that happened in Texas on last week, where the young man shot the deputy who was just pumping gas in his car. And now they want to try to blame that on the Black Lives Matter, a march that was happening in Minnesota. They were chanting something about pigs in a blanket, fried like bacon or something like that.
Fry them up like bacon.
Yeah, how can you? That's a stretch. I mean, that's a real stretch to try to blame Black Lives Matter. I am remorseful for the officer that was killed, but how are you going to blame that on a movement?
Well, that was just one particular officer. He is backtracked. I believe he's the police chief down in that area.
In Texas.
He's backtracked some of his statements. He basically said all lives matter. But I will say that this recent murder just brings up the fact that if anyone needs to have a wake-up call, we need to be able to connect the dots with mental illness. Mental illness and guns are rearing their you can see that there's a problem there.
Right.
That there's, anytime the guy that did this shooting in Texas, he was locked up. They said he had mental problems.
Mental illness. How
did he get the gun?
Right. Well, that's one of the things I talked about last week, and people were looking at me sideways, where I think that gun reform needs to happen, that in order to possess a gun, there ought to be some sort of psychological testing. I really do.
I have had that exact same debate with other people. First of all, not every state has a background check. That's number one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then there's gun show loopholes and so on. I've always said that in order to have a gun either transferred, be it by sale or by gift, whatever, it needs to be registered as such. Then you have to have a psychological background check in order to make sure you're straight in the head. And the immediate, almost Pavlovian comeback to that is, well, who's to determine whether or not I'm crazy and so on and so on? Well, what one doctor say may not be what another doctor says and so on. And I'm like,
that's,
really?
That's BS.
And as a matter of fact, the guy that I spoke to about this, young brother, he's a little bit under the illusion of inclusion. He's like, well, I've been prescribed antidepressants and so on. Well, they could say that about me. Well, they may be correct about you then.
Correct.
So,
absolutely.
You know, something needs to be done, yeah, but what needs to be done ain't going to be done.
Right, because a lot of the people that probably in the NRA that have guns probably could not pass a psychological test. That's why. And it's unfortunate that they are so strong. Can pull together their funds and, pay the lawmakers. I'm going to say it. Pay the lawmakers.
That's not a secret.
Right. Exactly. Well, people don't want to say it up front.
Truth be that way.
And that's unfortunate. I commend I think it was the reporters for Allison's father who was adamant to fight this fight with regards to gun reform. And go ahead, Van.
With him in regards specifically, what was his attitude towards guns 2 weeks before this happened to his family?
Right, right.
Number one. Number two, I feel your pain and so on and so on, but after 20 plus, was it 26 or 20 six, seven, 8 year olds get gunned down in a school and ain't nothing happened behind that.
Right.
You know, your pretty little white daughter was pretty little and white, but she wasn't 20 children and nothing happened as a result of that. Good luck with this. I hope something happens, but I'm not being cynical. I'm being real.
I mean, the shooting in New Orleans at the theater, again, that guy was committed.
Yeah.
Right. Got out, went up, bought a gun.
Well, traditionally, what's happened in this country, I'd say after the 70s, or at least I want to say Reagan kind of symbolizes this, is that the reduction in mental health programs, social programs, have been then turned over to warehousing people with mental illness in prisons. That has not been upended and reversed. Consequently, here we go.
Right.
But at the same time, I also will say it could take a traumatic event in your life for you to snap.
Correct.
Okay?
You're right.
So,
you're absolutely right.
If something happened to your daughter or whomever you love, a heinous crime of some kind, you gonna go get some revenge.
Well, this father sounds like he is adamant to really start a movement or connect with the persons, other folks that have lost loved ones. And hopefully that burning desire will continue and make a change, especially during this political season.
I'm sure his desire to make change is no greater than those of those children.
Well,
we
will see. A lot of times they, you know, you burn out. Mm-hmm. You do burn out.
The thing with Sandy Hook, it was all about the guns.
Yes.
And they didn't pay any attention to that boy's state of mind. And it was the wrong approach.
Mm-hmm.
Had they called for more mental and all that stuff, you know, maybe it would have made a dent. But they went straight for the guns, and Obama up there about we need
right.
to totally, you know, already laughed. Laughed it off, just spent the money, lobbyists shut it down.
Now, we are talking about this as though the story that's been told about Sandy Hook is 100% real. I've got too many suspicions about how that all really went down. However, I will say that had one of the parents in the case of Sandy Hook with one of their children shot, had they followed the lead of Emmett Till's mother, maybe then we would have a little bit of a more serious conversation about this. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Emmett Till's mother placed her son in an open casket, and when photographs were taken, that made a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
Had one of those children's bodies been photographs been shown, because they got shot at least probably more than that, but at least four times by a high-powered battle rifle that fired a cartridge that is specifically for killing people. Had those photographs come out, it would have been a whole nother thing. You can call me crazy, sadistic, or whatever else. Call me that.
No,
argue the point.
They sanitize violence in our society, and that's gone back to movies. I mean, you see, you go to
that's
any
gone back to
Marvel movie. They don't show the blood and gore.
No,
and they won't show the blood and gore in this case. If they show the blood and gore of that police officer,
right?
Uh-huh.
Maybe something would happen, but no, they sanitize it.
Well, if I can add to this conversation and.
Please.
When I think about this whole mental illness, there's been a lot of discussion lately about, you know, mental illness. And I am of the impression that probably the same way that a child has to have so many immunizations before they can even come to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then periodically throughout, you know, their matriculation, you've got to go give them some more immunizations. I think mental health is being used against the folks that probably are suffering the most from mental health issues as part of a political thing that, well, we'll talk about mental illness because I've got your attention, but then we'll do nothing.
Right.
We'll do nothing about it. We'll just talk about, well, yeah, that could be a root cause, but for me, it's almost like code when I hear it when I'm in these environments that, well, then do something about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, the NRA has already started to launch their campaign that, okay, it's not about gun reform, it's about mental illness. And what's
surprising, that's a straw man.
Yeah,
to the fifth power.
And believe it or not, I saw someone that was, and this was a brother, you know, talking about, no, we don't need gun reform, we need more mental illness treatment. And I was surprised because I think probably for the most part, people in the NRA doesn't look like us.
Mm-mm.
Am I missing something?
No.
I mean, I was really surprised. I'm like, okay, what was the purpose of that? You know, and I'm like, okay, all right. It caught my attention. But I think we all need to stand up because at any point, I mean, I hate the fact that I can't even come out of my house one, because I may be shot, you know, with somebody with mental illness, or, you know, targeted by the police. We can't win. Either way, it goes down, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the shooting that happened on yesterday at 9 o'clock. Now, they want to blame Black Lives Matter for the shooting that happened last week. But they can't, you know, they can't tie that with this one, because the shooting that happened to the officer yesterday morning were done by two whites and a black.
Well, allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly. You're right. Thank
because
you.
Because what's funny, and I guess it's like we talk about being cynical, nobody cameras, nothing. The partner, okay, discovers the body and says.
Is that how it went down?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The guy took off and left his partner behind, allegedly.
Well, they were supposed to have been backups, was
right,
in the way.
Allegedly.
Close enough that they could
and
hear
so
shots.
And so they said his partner discovered his body shot,
uh-huh,
and said that these three people did the shooting. Although they don't know which one did the shooting,
right,
they said his gun was taken from him.
Possibly
at
taken
first
shot
they
by
said
him.
His gun, they had his gun. Then they recanted that and said they found his gun a few feet away or something. So we don't know what really happened. And this guy had been on the force a long time. His partner
right,
was younger.
Years, right. Mm-hmm. 29 years, I believe.
But he left his partner behind.
To go chase the people.
To go chase the people.
Yeah, that sound,
that
I
never
thought,
caught him.
Doesn't that sound crazy?
Doesn't that sound
why
like something
you, why
on
would
TV?
You, why, you I already just, outnumbered.
I could just imagine, first of all, you're younger, but he left you behind. He got shot, allegedly, by these three guys. You discovered the body. Sounds like a movie to me.
But my thing is this. He was outnumbered. Why would you go after three people?
That's the other thing.
Three people?
And you're a veteran.
Right.
You know better not to go after three suspects. Then you get shot. No one sees the shooting. No record. But the partner finds you.
But wait a minute. Outnumbered is one thing. Outgunned is something completely different. Were these people armed?
They said they were.
Even if they weren't, they were three people.
Okay.
Even if they weren't armed, you got 3-1.
3-1. Police do. They're supposed to not engage when they're overnumbered like that.
Right.
They're supposed to fall back, wait for their partner. It all sounds so suspicious.
I mean, is that to you?
But the media has
teaching?
Run with
well,
it.
And allegedly these three people shot them with one of the police officers'
it's
weapons.
Possible. They're not sure if they used his gun or not. That is still up in the air as to how he was shot. But, I mean, I'm with you, Brian. Why would he go after three people?
Yeah.
If right. he's outnumbered.
Right. It goes against, and he was a trainer of police officers. Mental illness. So it doesn't sound
he said mental
right.
illness.
It doesn't even sound right. And if I were those three cats running, they probably say, they already convicted me. If I turn myself in, they probably shoot me and kill me because they think I'm the one that shot this officer.
Exactly.
For all you know, the partner is the only one telling
yes.
this story.
Yes.
Sounds really
what
suspicious.
Is the issue that all police departments do not have body cameras of some kind? I just don't understand the hold up.
It's
I really
funding
don't.
And it's funding and it's political
it's
at the
political.
At the same time.
It's political.
Okay, meaning
see, cops okay, you gotta understand something. Cops came about because of in response to gangs. In order to fight something, you must be something is sort of the philosophy. The cops function as a gang in this country as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that may subside for the mere fact that officers now are being killed, that they'd be like, okay, we're being killed because we got bad cops that are making it bad for everybody else.
Right.
So that may not be such the case. I mean, that blue line may eventually
but that's
start
nothing
to
new.
Crumble.
That ain't nothing new. They're not telling on each other in order to get the respect and get the trust back from the community. That has been lost as a result of two people. I mean, we all black. Every time we walk into some place, I feel a bit of a gloom pointed in my direction. Not because I've done anything, because someone looked like me. I'm having to live down a reputation mm-hmm. of someone else. And I'm not that person.
Right.
Same is true with cops. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But I mean, also, too, two officers that have been killed in the past couple of days. Can you imagine how that feels when you go in your job now and you're looking over your shoulder?
Well, you know what? You knew it was a dangerous job when you signed the paper, so I don't want to hear
that at
all.
When you become a show enough target.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, because you got a few bad cops now.
And you know how.
It has unfortunately become a race war. And you know how certain people feel.
Well, again, it goes back to the shooting in Houston. The guy was definitely mental. And he had issues. And he just decided they don't even know the motive. But they do know he had been in a mental institution. He had a record of violent behavior.
Right.
And to make the assertion that Black Lives Matter had something to do with that was way out of line.
Oh, yeah.
But he was reacting emotionally, the officer. They're all upset.
They should be upset with the ones that are making it hard for them. As well, I mean, because they all have a target on their backs now, unfortunately, because of a few bad officers and the system not bringing justice.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You know, it's an uproar. They don't want to admit it, but we got a war going on now.
It's been going on for a while.
That's true.
They quoted Baltimore police saying, well, this is what the people wanted, a less aggressive police force. That's why murder rates are up. But people never said that.
Mm-mm.
Black Lives Matter never said that. White folks never said that. All they said is that, hey, officers need more training.
Right.
They need more training so they don't kill innocent black or white people unarmed. It just seems like it happens to us every day. You know.
And I don't think training is the answer. I don't think it's just training.
Culture.
Training is a start.
It's completely
right.
Training a culture.
Is a start. Just like
okay, what,
today.
Training, what are you going to say? What are you going to train them to do?
All right. For example,
what type of training are you going to provide that's going to
exactly
that's
going to
change officers?
Those situations.
From targeting black people. What type of training? What do you say to them? What are you going to say to them?
Here's an example. Okay, you say, okay, officers, we're going to have training today. All right, so simulation. First of all, you give them blanks. So when they go into the training and they do the wrong thing, they don't kill anyone. But the young man who broke into the car dealership, pledged in a fraternity, did all those cars, and the 39 or 49-year-old rookie cop walks in and just shoots him. Okay, training could have prevented that from happening.
Okay, so
no,
how
following,
would
no, illness no, following, following the guidelines.
But it goes back to training.
He was told, yeah, it does.
It goes back to training. Yeah. If he had been trained in a situation like that with blanks, then they got something going on. A riot at a school. Okay, guys, you're all walking in. It's a simulation.
What do you do? He entered
Don't kill unarmed black, white, red, yellow kids. You just don't do that.
I think it goes a step further. I mean, Scotty said something last week about having a something to the effect about a racism test.
Yes.
I think it goes further than training. I think it needs to be some sort of testing of some kind to weed out these folks that have their own type of law enforcement procedure in their mind and in their heart to do what they think.
Yeah, that's a lived
experience.
That's
how they want to do.
Training is out there. They have training right now.
And you may need some of them to have
harassment, sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know they have training modules and training programs for sexual harassment and for violence in the workplace? They have it, so they could do the same thing. Like you said, they could give. Is this racist? Laughing at an inappropriate joke.
Right.
Is that racism? Some people may say yes, some people may say no. If you say yes, okay, you need some training.
Well, I take a step further. They probably need to have psychological testing every so often because being a law enforcement officer is very stressful. And let's just take a break. We'll be right back.
Oh, I know the Lord will make a way. troubles too. And oh, when I am burdened and I don't know what to do. I can go to him in secret prayer. Oh yes, and I can leave all.
New Orleans Network, it's today's hottest topics with an added flair. You get ready because the conversation will be hot and better yet, mobile. Download the New Orleans Talk Network app available on Android, iPhone, iPad, and you can listen to us on the web at www.neworleanstalknetwork.com. Write down our talk line at 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255. Interactive and worldwide, that's what we are. Join in on the real conversation and tell a friend about the New Orleans Talk Network.
Hey, this is Chocolate Chip again, and small behavioral health practices are working harder than ever. It's time for a new perspective. Healthcare commercial billing specialists can help you manage your practice, file your claims, and get you paid in record time. The first step is always the hardest. With HCBS billing, we make it easy and simple for you to start. Thousands of providers are already getting paid on time. It's time you get paid too. Sign up today at hcbsbilling.com or call us at 866-647-6267. That's 866-647-6267.
A good evening. Do not attempt to adjust your radio. There is nothing wrong. We have taken control as to bring you this special show. We will return it to you as soon as you are grooving. Welcome to station WEFUNK, better known as We Funk, or deeper still, the Mothership Connection, home of the extraterrestrial brothers, dealers of funky music, P-Funk, Uncut Funk, The Bomb.
Coming to you directly from the mothership. Top of the chocolate Milky Way. 500,000 kilowatts of P-Funk power. So kick back, dig, while we do it to you in your eardrums. Oh, me? I'm known as Lollipop Man, alias the long-haired sucker. My motto is...
Make my funk make the P-Funk.
Make mine the P-Funk.
I want my funk uncut.
I want my funk uncut.
Make my funk the P-Funk.
Yeah, make my funk the P-Funk.
I want to get funked up.
I want to get funked up.
I want the bomb.
Now, this is what I want y'all to do. If you got faults, defects, or shortcomings, you know, like arthritis, rheumatism, or migraines, whatever part of your body it is, I want you to lay it on your radio. Let the vibes flow through. Funk not only moves, it can remove. Dig? The desired effect is what you get when you improve your interplanetary functionship. Sir Lollipop Man, chocolate-coated freaking habit former. Doing it to you in 3D. So groovy that I dig me. Once upon a time called now. Somebody say, is there funk after death? I say, it's 7-Up. Yeah.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free
844-321-1010. I want to welcome my friend Pete Chavis. How are you, friend?
I'm fine, friend.
Good. We were talking about police officers having to go through psychological testing every so often. And, you know, because they go through a whole lot. That's a very stressful job.
Because they can carry guns.
Yes.
They need testing.
And tasers, which they seem to not use much.
Yeah, but everybody gets burned out for the type of job that they do. Let's go to the phone. Scotty, how are you?
Not too much. How are you all doing up there?
Good.
Fine, thank you.
Well, I'd just like to say that I think that you all are right on point about testing of these police officers. many of these cops that I see are out of shape.
That's very true. You're right. You're right.
And they wouldn't even make it through basic training, you know, for the military, you know. And I have seen videos where these cops are training in hand-to-hand, you know, combat, how to disarm people with knives and stuff like that. But, you know, with all of these out-of-shape cops and, you know, whatnot, they just rather resort to the gun and just pull out their gun and shoot somebody. And then they're also trained. We talk about training. I saw a story where, you know, this guy, he trains police. He's a psychologist, and he trains police to shoot to kill. Not shoot to wound, not shoot to disable, mm-hmm. shoot to kill.
Right.
All right? We had in Charlotte a very, you know, small young black woman who had a knife in her hand. They didn't have to shoot her in the chest. You know, they could have used some of that hand-to-hand combat training and disarmed her. Jim, she's just a little old woman. You know, you two big burly cops. Why did you have to shoot her?
Or at least use a taser.
Or taser her, or whatever, but people being killed by them tasers, too, because, you know, it puts 50,000 volts shock to your heart, and if you got heart problems, you know, it can cause a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
But on the screening thing, I mean, it's just a shame. It's very easy to become a cop. They should have some of the most stringent hiring practices than any, you know, profession in this country, but that's not the case. Tamir Rice's case shows us that, where the officer who killed him, Timothy Lohman, had been fired from a small police
right.
department and said yep, that he's
that.
Too emotionally immature, he shouldn't even have a gun. But they ain't even do a background check on him, and they hired him, and now he's gunned down this little 12-year-old boy. But there needs to be, like y'all mentioned, there needs to be, I think, empathy screening. First of all, I also think there needs to be aptitude testing. These are things that I went yes. through when I was in the military, okay? And so, you know, we put them through all these tests and then reformat the training. I don't think they should be trained to shoot to kill all the time. They should be able to evaluate the situation and use, you know, less deadly force. But, I mean, it's just happening too much, and we need a whole lot of reform. But let me leave y'all with this, though. Okay, even when we see these cops are charged, we see these juries letting them go,
yes.
despite what the evidence shows,
mm-hmm.
like here in the Jonathan Ferrell killing here in Charlotte. And so I think there also needs to be empathy screening for these jurors and aptitude testing.
Yep.
So, I mean, we just got a long road ahead of us because there's just too much to be done, and we need to get started.
Absolutely. Thank you, Scott. I tell everybody to listen to your show.
Tune in to New Abolitionist Radio tonight on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time as we talk about 21st century slavery and human trafficking.
Great topic. Thank you, Scotty. Appreciate it. We also got Bart on line two. Hi, Bart. How are you? Still there?
Hello?
Hello, Bart. How are you?
This is Mark. Did you say Brock?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mark, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm passing through Greenville, South Carolina. I just happened to catch your show on the radio. And
thank you.
I wanted to comment about a couple of things that I heard, and then especially the last caller. I'm a former law enforcement officer. I'm a former military member as well. I'm not in law enforcement anymore. I had some back injuries that prevented me from continuing. But as far as the training, there's so much training that is in place to how to handle yourself in situations like the gentleman on your show was talking about. A kid that had broke into a car dealership for a college initiation and he was shot. That officer is an idiot, okay? There's no amount of training on the planet that can stop somebody from being stupid. And that goes for an officer or a person that's involved with law enforcement, you know, whether they be a suspect or just whoever, okay? So stupidity is going to overwin every time. So I assure you there's more than enough training to make sure people are well-equipped. Problem is not everybody's cut out to do the job they're doing. You can do all the background testing in the world. You can do all the training in the world. But you never really know how somebody's going to react in a situation where possibly their life's on the line or another person's life's on the line until they're put in that situation.
And then there's also the fantasization element that goes along with it as well. By that I mean, if I get into this situation, then I'm going to act like X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
You become your own little hero in your own little made-up scenario at that time. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, people just you know, when the pressure's on, you don't know how certain people are going to react. And sadly, a lot of people don't react the correct way. I worked with plenty of law enforcement officers that were fantastic, okay? They may have been a jerk sometimes, but they did their job the correct way, and you better believe that they're going to protect people's lives from harm.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you have any suggestions how we can weed out some of the bad cops?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're first of all, I think a lot of people are hired based off of where they go to school, things like that. Background checks are done, okay? There's training that's done. You're not going to get – if an agency is hiring somebody to be a law enforcement officer and they have psychological issues in the past, then somebody needs to look at the hiring practices of that agency, okay?
Because wasn't the case in Cleveland, as we've seen. I'm sure that that's not the case. I'm sure that's the case other places as well.
There's checks and balances in place. You know, unfortunately, you can't give somebody's life back that a law enforcement officer took unlawfully, okay? That can't happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's offices of professional standards that their entire job is to investigate cops. That's it. Let me real quick, too, before I let you guys go, the last caller that called in, you know, he was talking about, you know, being trained not to shoot to kill. You're not trained to shoot to kill. You're trained to shoot center mass on the subject. Okay, center mass.
So
now,
what's
most
the
of the time, if you shoot somebody in the center of their chest, it's going to kill them.
Yeah.
Is
that the same thing as shoot to kill?
But you don't. See, this is the thing: is that movies have taught so many people in our society and TV shows that a cop can just shoot a gun out of somebody's hand or shoot a knife out of or shoot them in the leg to wound them. You don't do that. That's not how you're trained. That's not how the military trains. That's not how law enforcement trains. You're trained that in a deadly force situation, when you have to use your firearm, that you shoot center mass. That's what you shoot.
Well, okay? let me ask you this. If you have a nine-year-old and you're not, a nine-year-old with a gun, is that the same thing? You apply that same rule?
Let me ask you this question.
Uh-oh.
Can that nine-year-old with that gun take your life or take somebody's life back next to you? And at the same time, do you think there's any officer out there? You would have to be a cold-hearted, evil person to want to take the life of that nine-year-old. But if you're in that situation and it's your life or other people's life in that situation, that's what you have to do. That's what you're tasked with. That's what your job is. And it sucks. It's terrible. I was involved in a shooting one time. Luckily, it wasn't a child, and it was somebody that deserved to be shot because he had just shot somebody else. But I
Hold on. How are you going to qualify someone deserving to be shot, first of all?
If they have put your life at risk or the public's life at risk, it is a deadly force situation. That is what you have been taught. That's what you've been trained.
Yeah, but think about this. When you want to make sure that if it's a nine-year-old or a child or someone that, like the gentleman in Walmart that was walking around with his cell phone and they thought he was, you know, going around to shoot people, wouldn't you want to make sure that the person's life you're taking, that it is warranted, opposed to taking that person's life and how that
mentally affects you?
You took a nine-year-old's life and they didn't have a real gun?
No, I my point is before you pull that trigger, you need to know 100% in your mind that you're making the right decision. And that all goes with training. You have to understand that. Now, is it always the right decision? No. But that's the task that law enforcement officers, that's the task the military have. It's not an easy job to do. They chose to do it. I chose to do it. But it's something you have to know. But, you know, he was saying, like the old lady with the knife, okay? Now, do you want to shoot this old lady? No, okay? But you don't try to disarm somebody with a knife if you have a gun. Your level of force teaches you to escalate it one step higher. So either she drops the knife, or if she comes at with you the knife, or she raises it like she's going to throw it at you, then you have no option other than to discharge the firearm.
Wait a minute, you have a 90-year-old woman with a knife, and you have a gun. You think your life is really in that much danger that you would use your gun and shoot at the masses?
Absolutely. You think that person with that knife can't take your life?
Yeah, but she's 90 years old, so her ability to move is hampered by
when a taser be
her age.
No. Let me ask you a question. If there's a gun on the table, let's put you in that situation. If there's a gun on the table and there's a taser on the table, and somebody has a knife, okay, and they have that knife and they have threatened to cause you harm, okay, are you going to use a taser or are you going to use a gun?
Okay, I need you.
You're trained to use one level of force higher. A taser is not deadly force.
Give me the conditions of the person whom you are fearing your life from. How old is the person? Is the person
male? Well, yeah, that's a factor in it as well. That's a factor
in it as well. Is the person male or female?
Honestly, I'll tell you right now. If I was in a situation, and it's an elderly person, okay, I had a situation one time with an elderly person that had a firearm who had dementia. It was sitting by their side. Their hand was on it.
Okay.
Now, technically, could I have been justified if I would have shot that person? Yes, but I knew not to because I understood the situation I was in. And each situation dictates.
Yes.
Okay? But if that person raises that knife and they come at you or they act like they're going to throw it at you or whatever, then if you want to roll the dice and maybe not go home at the end of the night and end up in a casket, then so be it. But you are justified in discharging your firearm. That is training. You guys were talking about training. I'm just explaining to you how it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And one thing that I think the general public could help a lot with is if they looked into use of force training and the use of force model, because that's what every single law enforcement agency, whether it's FBI, city police, county sheriff, whatever, they are all taught off use of force model, and that is universal.
Okay. Okay. So, is your name is Mark or Mart?
Mark.
M-A-R-K. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate you coming.
Thank you all for talking to me. I enjoyed it.
We appreciate your comments. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Well, that answers that question. We'll be back.
Your call has ended.
And sing till earth and heaven ring with the harmonies of loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the darkness has taught us.
Searching for the best in online black radio, then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers. Call 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730.
Hey there, Big John Trimble here. Thanks to Tanya for freeing up the time to allow me to talk about the Big John Trimble Show. Heard Monday through Friday mornings, 6 to 9, right here on WCLM Radio. Yes, sir, after 57 years, I'm still on the radio and 24/7 on BigJohnTrimble.com. It all originates from our backyard studio over here in Verona, We play a wide variety of requested music from Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, and Dinah Washington to George Jones, George Strait, and Loretta Lynn, along with the trivia contest and over-the-fence chats with our listeners from across the Richmond area, across the USA, and sometimes foreign countries. The Big John Trimble Show. It's the most fun you'll ever have with your clothes on.
Hello, friend. I'm Theron K. Cal, a.k.a. The Real Brother, inviting you to join me for The Real Brother Radio Show, weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on TheRealBrotherRadioNetwork.com. And don't forget to like us on The Real Brother Radio Show Facebook page, The Real Brother Radio Show, because the truth has value.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free
844-321-1010. We're going to go back to the phone. Scotty?
I had to call back in. I apologize, but that last person was giving out a whole lot of disinformation and mischaracterizing my commentary, but you picked up on it. Center mass and shoot to kill is the same thing. All right. I learned that term, center mass, when I joined the military. All right. Shoot them in the chest. That's the same thing. Shoot to kill. Where's your heart located? All right. In the center of your chest. So they shooting to kill. And so for him to play word games like that, it just tells me that he's a police apologist for this brutality and all this killing that's going on. We can look at the police departments in Europe and see how often they kill people versus what's going on here in the United States.
Now
for example,
put it in perspective, sorry. Now, Scotty. Put it in perspective as much as we got gun stores here. They don't have gun stores in Europe, so you got to put that into perspective about how the cops treat.
Oh, but they have knives, though.
Right.
Okay, they have knives, but let's also not forget a large number of these people are unarmed when they are shot and killed. They don't even have a knife in their hands. All right, and so you know when we're looking at let's say England and Wales, for example, with a population of 56 million. 55 fatal police shootings in the last 24 years. But you look in the United States, you got 59 people being killed in the first 24 days.
Because of the proliferation of guns. I mean, we all know that there's a problem.
Are these people being shot in possession of guns? Are they all in possession of guns when they're shot?
No. It's a perception based upon what you see.
Okay, then why is England so low?
It's a cultural
thing. Then why is England so low? Since you mentioned Europe, why are they so low?
Like the brother over here said, like Van said, like Van said, there's not a gun shop on every corner.
But they got knives. They got knives everywhere.
We're talking about shooting. We're talking about shooting. Stay on point.
I'm staying on point. All right. But listen, the rules of engagement, when I was in the Gulf War, I was stationed in Saudi Arabia. And the way that those Arab men used to look at me like they wanted to kill me, and then even the Saudi police. But we were under strict rules of engagement. There was plenty of times I found myself with another person in a situation where I felt my life was threatened. But I did not raise my weapon or even point it at them without being sure, because I could have set off an international incident where I didn't kill, you know, somebody in a so-called allied country.
That's not in America.
So, that's not even an example.
I will say that the gentleman, that the last caller also said that movies have trained us to think that law enforcement should be able to shoot them in the leg or shoot the gun out their hand.
That's garbage. That's garbage.
But what I'm saying is, you see it every day, Scotty, in movies where the guy shot him in the leg, he wounded him. So we think, why can't they do that in real life?
Yeah, we do.
And we just found out, shoot to kill and shoot the mass is the same thing.
Right.
Movies have a different agenda.
Just as you can shoot somebody in the chest, you can shoot them in the shoulder. You can shoot them in the
They don't train that, though, Scotty. You even agreed to that. They don't do that.
I said that they are not trained to shoot the disabled person, that they do not. And then he said they're not trained. Let me give you a name and a website to look up. Dr. William J. Lewinsky. This man travels to, let me see, he's given workshops to cops in Chicago, San Antonio, Orlando, and other big cities all across the country. And he teaches them to shoot to kill. And then he's paid $1,000 an hour to go testify in these where these cops kill somebody to say, oh, yeah, they're right. But even the American Journal of Psychology called him out for his so-called work, and the Justice Department denounced his findings as lacking in both foundation and reliability. And people are dying because of what this man is teaching cops.
I think we're on the same page.
Yeah.
They're training cops to shoot to kill, but movies are showing cops can shoot in the arm, shoot in the leg. Even Dirty Harry didn't kill everyone. He could wound them when he wanted to, and then he would say, don't you feel lucky, punk? Now, don't you?
I mean, there just seems to be no – I mean, these people usually are shot within minutes of police contact. There's really no real effort to de-escalate the situation. Mm-hmm. Take, for example, the young boy who was in that school holding his fellow students and teacher hostage. Did they run up in there and gun that boy down? No, they called out his pastor, they called his parents, and they talked him down from that ledge. And so that is not what is happening in the majority of these cases. They just want to kill, man, and it's as simple as that.
Okay.
Can't
all right,
argue
Scotty.
With that.
Yeah. Thank you, Scotty.
Based on the fact that in addition to being issued a firearm, there are also issued tasers and pepper spray. But the firearm is usually the go-to weapon. And it has gone. I mean, the situation with Oscar Grant. Yeah, the cop thought he was pulling out his taser. But the weight and the feel in your hand of a taser is completely different from that of a gun.
Yeah, man.
So is that a training issue or what's
well, they
what
said
got?
He got. They falsified his training.
Mm. Interesting.
They falsified it because he was good boy. He went on hunting trips with the police.
Now the situation I'm talking about is Oscar Grant.
What you're
alluding to is a situation where the auxiliary police officer who had paid to play with cops as a cop pulled out the gun instead of the taser because the taser was here, the gun was here. I'm old.
My hands slipped up.
Yeah.
And I like shooting black folk anyway.
There is no training, like I said, can change some of the officers, and there needs to be some weeding out. That's the bottom line. There needs to be some weeding out.
You know
but unfortunately, that will not happen because they don't want to admit that, there was a problem.
Here's a news flash. Everybody that joins the Marines, Army, Air Force, you know, they not qualified either, but they stay in there. And a lot of them have killed friendly fire, have killed each other.
Yep.
Not qualified. Every week. They don't publish it, but every week someone's coming home from friendly fire because you pass a series of tests, you pass all the training, but when you got out there next to your fellow soldier, you just went berserk and shooting everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, let me ask her. Let's go back to the situation in St. Paul's, Minnesota, where the Black Lives Matter protest was going on, and some of the protesters were chanting pigs in a blanket, fry like bacon.
Yep.
Do you all think that was...
Well, Black Lives Matter need to get their act together.
Yeah, that was very offensive.
That wasn't wise.
That was not even close. And you know what? That's exactly the type of nugget that Fox News
said. I think it. Bill O'Reilly is now starting to refer to the Black Lives Movement as a result of that as being a terrorist group.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Something like this. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. That statement was a distraction.
Without a doubt.
And I don't know where they got, why they thought that was cute. Or funny or whatever.
No, they were pissed off.
But it was unexcusable. You don't do that.
I agree.
You have some protesters and some of the Black Lives Movement leaders that are trying to do good. And you have those one or two, once again, like the police department, those one or two elements that do things that cause a distraction. Once again, what do we need to do to be on the same page that's productive? How do we get there?
I've said this in a previous show. We just don't have the strong leadership.
Well, you got strong leaders now with the Black Lives Matter.
No. Who's strong?
No, you don't.
Sean King was one of them. The gentleman that was on this morning, I heard his name is Rashad Turner. I thought something he said with the protesters that were protesting in Baltimore this morning because they were waiting for what was going on with the Freddie Gray situation. They said that they're going to move and protest in some of the areas. They said affluent areas where they can be heard opposed to just protesting in our neighborhood. I agree with that because we need to go someplace where we can get attention and people notice us. I agree with what he was saying. As long as it's peaceful. And what made me, you know, a little upset was the fact that the news show that he was on, the reporter or the journalist or the person that was hosting the show, they were a little disturbed by it. You know, I'm like, oh, this person is really upset about this thing. You know, she lost it for a minute, you know, because it can be in her neighborhood.
Yes. I was about to say.
Or in her workplace, you know, and I think that's where they need to go, peacefully go. And what bothers me, the fact that when we protest, you know, they started bringing out the National Guard and everybody else before we even come out. But you have other folks with guns and whatever, and there's no issue. Something's wrong with that picture.
And that harkens back to the situation. Was it in Arizona where the guy did not want to pay for a grazing rights fee? And folks showed up on the highway. I remember this picture distinctly. A dude is laying down with a long gun between those Jersey wall barriers, ready to shoot a government official if something went off. And that was okay somehow. So.
Well, it's a problem, the fact that we have peaceful protests. We're not showing up with guns. What would happen if we did show up? If the folks that showed up with guns and we showed up with guns too,
Are you really asking this question?
Oh, I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's where injustice,
completely.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and when you're peaceful and you're not armed with anything, you can't even protest. They were actually arresting people before the protests actually started. They arrested 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't done anything.
No.
And you couldn't be in the street. You had to be on the sidewalk. All these rules, they were making up as they went along.
Exactly.
You know, only because of the color of their skin.
Yeah, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Now, as you say that, they want to go and do this in more affluent areas. There is no such thing as black folks peaceful anywhere, much less an affluent area.
True.
Seriously? White folks are going to look at him and go, yes, Becky, we need to call the cops.
Call the cops. Right.
These Negroes.
Right, exactly.
If they don't pick them off.
They're not delivering mail.
But
I don't see a FedEx truck.
It is news, though.
They're not doing my yard.
But I think it would. Yeah. I think
no,
it would be.
That's the Mexicans, brother. Keep it.
I think it would be effective. Let me. Oh, we got a text. Sean texts that police lives don't matter to black people. Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. No, it's, if anything, it's the other way around. That's what we're talking about. That's what Black Lives Matter is all about.
And I even think justice. About some of the black police mm-hmm. officers that mm-hmm. we may need to go in and do some psychological testing for them because, you know, I'm a black person, and so I'm supposed to uphold this law, mm-hmm. but you could easily put me in a situation like with my partner right. who may be white.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm found dead, and the three people that shot me ran away.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's a trick bag.
It really is. No question about that. But the Black Lives Matter movement, I think that we talk about, they've been radical, I think, far as with the politicians.
Jesus was a radical.
I believe that is getting people's attention. The news media, I think, is biased, and that's where we have to step up to the plate.
The news media is trying to do things to keep people watching their screen. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's very irritating.
And that's the cause for the biasness
That's the irritating part about it. And that's where we have to use our media sources to get the real deal out.
Yes. Who is, when you say
here and all of
to
my
whom do you refer, Boo?
Colleagues here on WCLM, okay. Roland Martin, mm-hmm. It definitely should be all the morning radio shows that we listen to in the morning.
Well, please.
Constantly.
Please. They ain't going like that.
Well, that's where we need to, you know, request and make sure, you know, talk about it. We should.
Well, you open up another a can of worms there, because when you're talking about people who are on these syndicated talk shows.
Being political?
Yeah, you know, they're trying to get paid.
Yep.
And you know, the bad nuts and bones is if you don't follow a certain protocol, then you're not going to get paid.
Bottom line.
You know, your show's going to be canceled and that's it. So you have to be very selective in how you articulate what you're trying to get across.
So you're supposed to just sit quiet and watch your people go to hell in the handbasket?
No, you know, you have to, you know.
If you want to keep your job, you know what to not talk about.
Okay.
And that's a reality, but okay, the onus falls on independents who don't have that type of threat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. If you cannot talk about it on your show, let's say, for instance, you can't, then maybe you can help in some other way. Maybe you can send financial support or direction, some other way, some kind of way.
I agree with the financial support.
Something.
Yes.
Something.
I agree.
To sit back and not do anything, to me, you're just as much a sellout as those that actually do absolutely nothing or go against the grain.
Well, look at hip-hop. From when it first started out, this is reporting about what's going on in the hood. Public Enemy showed up, really put it out there. And within a five-year period, we went from fighting the power to Rolex watches and all of this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Brother nowadays named Immortal Technique. He needs to be on the radio. You never heard of the brother until I just said the words.
Right,
okay?
Right. So I say, well, hold that thought. We got to go to Black Talk Radio. Our friend Scotty Reed.
Thank you. Television commentators like Elizabeth Hasselbeck, Bill O'Reilly, and a whole host of conservative blogs have sought to link the recent killing of a white law enforcement officer in Texas to the current movement against police terrorism. This is nothing new, as the news media played a significant role in the FBI's COINTEL operations to demonize and destroy the Black Panther Party in the eyes of the general public. The 60s was the last period of mass protests and movement to make Black Lives Matter. Prior to the movements of the 60s and during the 1800s and Reconstruction in the South, the print news media fabricated stories about Black people preying on white people to gin up mass white hatred in retaliation of Blacks gaining political power through electing Black politicians. When viewed in this historical context, it should come as no surprise that when Black suspects are involved in the killing of cops, the news media is jumping at the chance to connect them to the current political movement. But the fact is, more cops have been killed or shot by white men more than anyone, with at least two white suspects involved in the most recent cop killing in Illinois. But that killing is not being cited as being caused by the rhetoric of hands up, don't shoot that came out of Ferguson. Speaking of hands up, don't shoot, cops in Texas were seen shooting a white male suspect with his hands up, which was caught on video by a Black male who witnessed the event. What the news media is doing to those associated with Black Lives Matter or in support of the current movement is using familiar tactics to demonize and destroy another Black movement focused on police terrorism against Black people. In the centuries-old movement for Black liberation from state-sponsored terrorism, history is repeating itself once again in this new millennium. This has been Scotty Reed with your Black Talk Radio weekly commentary. Support independent Black media at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Tanya Free. If it's Monday, it's time for Let's Get Busy with your host, King Salim Kalfani, 4 to 6 p.m. here on the heart and soul of the city, WCLM 1450 a.m. Kick off the week with KSK, Commonwealth Consultation, LLC, for two power-packed hours of news you can use. Feature guests, cutting-edge commentary, and more. Let's get busy with King Salim Kalfani every Monday at 4.
WCLM, 1450 AM, Highland Springs, Richmond. The soul of the city is WCLM, 1450 AM.
Calling all dreadheads, are you tired of your locks being dry, limp, and weighed down? Do your locks have an odor or you have unbearable itchy scalp? Are your locks thinning or falling off? If so, you need to visit Dreadhead Studio, offering full service lock maintenance, starter locks, kid services, weekly specials, and more. Try their online booking for your next appointment. For more information, call 804-601-8216. That's 804-601-8216. Or visit DreadheadStudio.com. Located at 133 East Belt Boulevard, Suite M in South Richmond.
This is Tanya Free. High blood pressure, obesity, and diabetes are reportedly the most common conditions that increase the risk of heart disease and stroke, especially in African Americans. The American Heart Association reminds us that we can improve our odds of preventing and beating these diseases by understanding the risk and taking steps to address them with regular checkups. Have you had your checkup lately? Tanya's Medical Minute is sponsored by the Capital Area Health Network, the heart of the community.
Join Tanya Free and friends at TanyaFree.com.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
We were talking during the break about Katrina, and this is what, the 20th?
No, it's 10th anniversary.
10th anniversary. I'm thinking 10th anniversary since the, you know, horrible ordeal with, we get, with that. And it is unbelievable that they are still trying to recover from that. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, of the belief that had it been anywhere else, that it would be in full swing.
If there was oil, if there was oil in the Ninth Ward, they would have fixed it a long time.
How you know that? Yeah. How you know there isn't oil in the Ninth Ward?
That's true. That might be the plan, right, brother?
Okay. Got to clear the land to get to it, don't you?
That's right. Got to clear
the Ninth Ward has been left out, but everywhere else has been rebuilt and looks lovely. Got to get them tourists in for Mardi Gras.
And that's why we have to be careful and be involved as what's going on, and that somebody is not giving us something that's a hand-me-down. You know?
Did we do the Essence Festival in New Orleans this year?
Yes.
I don't know if we did or not. I can't speak to that.
You know?
Yeah, we did.
That's the issue that you know, some of these syndicated radio shows really could have taken up. We will not bring our money to you.
If this area has not been rejuvenated.
If it's not rejuvenated, yeah. That's you a good don't point. Get our money.
That's a good point. Yeah, but well, once again, we do not pull together, you know, for the good of all of us. Just some of us. And where did that mentality come from?
Well, that's easy to figure out.
Yeah, I know. Way back when some of us some of us in the house.
And it still exists today.
Yes.
Yeah, dark skin, light skin, high yellow and all that. When are we going to get over that?
And you know, the only
get
place
past that.
The only place it exists is within our culture.
Yeah, I think.
To everybody else, you know, you black. It don't make no difference. Even if you're half white, half black, you black.
Yeah, right. If you have any
but how do you get over that? I guess our kids, the only thing, because I mean, the kids coming up today, the ones, it just depends. The kids coming up today, unless they're taught the racism and everything,
yes. Right?
They're pretty. They're, you know, they're going to be fine. I see
well,
that.
I take,
but that's, unfortunately,
but if they, especially well, not if they are in an area where
like,
things,
like Ferguson,
right? Exactly,
or like
and
Baltimore,
then and they can see what they haven't been exposed to.
Why are you specifying?
If they haven't been exposed,
because
to.
In some, it depends on where you grow.
Right,
up.
It does.
It's just like white folks, depending on where they grow up, they say there is no racism.
Right.
But there are white folks that grow up, they know there's racism. So mm-hmm. It depends. So when is it going to end? It's never going to end. It's never going to end, unfortunately. It's always going to be pockets in America where it's just messed up. They still in the 50s. And they are seeding that hate and that mistrust in people like that young man who took the lives of those people in South Carolina. Their kids growing up right now, just like their kids growing up in Israel and all those countries who hate for no other reason because they've been taught. They've been taught hate, and that's all they know.
Well, I think it's being spewed, unfortunately, in this political, race, presidential race right now. When you talk about, you know, anchor babies and building a wall.
Jeb
and
Bush's word.
Yeah, that's still racism. I don't care how you want. How you want to frame
right?
it.
Anchor babies.
Yeah, that's insulting. It's all get out. It really is. I don't care. And the folks he's talking about, I would not vote for him if you even breathe the word anchor babe. I mean, that to me, that's equivalent to some words that we wouldn't want to be called.
But when he says it, it's applied in your mind to but one specific group. Anchor babies, quote unquote, that applies to anybody. That's Asians, that's Russians, and it's some more folks that are not being included into that equation, because we're talking about folks that come from Mexico and South America that used to be welcomed up here to kill chickens and pick vegetables and so on by these big-ass corporations
right. That
wanted them to come here to do this. Now they show up and they're not leaving. They're established. That's the new issue right now.
Right.
Okay.
So. Yeah, and then they want their vote, which is even more insulting. Dennis texts that keeping racism alive is your business. Okay, Dennis.
Whose business? Dennis, give us a call and help
the government's understand what you're talking about.
Hold on. If you're able to text, you can use that phone as a phone and call us.
844-321-1010. Or if you're out in the area, 844-321-1010. But let's go back to Donald Trump and the immigration situation. They wanted to vote, and Jeb Bush and all of that. And one of the things that I noticed, and I'm quite sure you all have too, they are talking about the Hispanic vote. Nobody is saying anything about us.
No, they don't
need to. Don't matter.
No, it's not that ours don't matter. They can't get us, and they know that.
So well, no.
they've just given up on the whole thing.
Well, even the Democrats aren't even mentioning us. They aren't mentioning us either.
We're in the pocket.
They got enough of us on the hook.
Well, that's our problem.
Without a doubt.
And shame on us if we allow us. Shame on us
now,
if we allow
at the same
at least
time.
They're talking about the Hispanic. They're talking about immigration and all of that. At least they have. Okay. They have their attention. And they're both sides. Are trying to, you know, get that group of people to vote for them. They're buying for both sides.
Look in the mirror, because that's our fault.
Yeah,
we are that low on the totem pole.
And you know what? Instead of us sitting on our butts from the pole, vote for the best person, not necessarily
the party.
The Democrats.
That's right. Real quiet
you
on
know.
Okay.
This is how the Republicans sort of view Latins. It's like twice the work and half the attitude.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, what do you all think?
Trademark.
Should undocumented immigrants receive citizenship here in this country, or if they have children? And I'm not going to use the word with the Donald Trump and Jeb Bush.
It's in the Constitution about their kids. And they would have to take
right.
a constitutional amendment to overturn it. So it's a non-issue.
Right, but should the mother or father be sent back to their country or should they stay here? What are you going to do with the child then?
Put him in the foster system? That's my question.
That's my question.
I think that's one of the issues. You got to have a road. And unfortunately, the Rubio has probably got the best idea. But his voice, he's not even in the top five.
Yeah, man. I know.
So I mean, they need to have a path towards citizenship, the ones that are here, the 10 million or whatever million. But I don't have a problem with the wall. I really don't have a problem
with the wall. I have a question.
Really? What are you, in Berlin or whatever?
I don't have a problem.
Seriously?
They're building a wall right now over there in Serbia, off of Syria, boy. They're building a wall right now. A fence.
A fence, okay. Yeah,
a fence.
Well, yeah, I have a question that, you know, I don't hear people discuss.
And I got a question.
What would be the issue with us going into Mexico and investing there and investing into businesses to help keep folk there? Obviously not enough because they want to come to the promised land.
That's right.
Well, hold on. I think Ford has got a big plant down there.
Well, not just Ford. We invest money in Mexico, but the problem is
the
corruption.
Okay.
In Mexico, a lot of the money gets siphoned off.
Okay.
No, drugs come this way, guns go that way.
Guns go
so are you saying the cartels are the deterrent?
Absolutely.
The cartels are the deterrents?
Well, they're keeping
who you think is selling to?
Yeah, the money that they're running from the cartels across the border. You know, I mean, it's a dirty business, but
it's politics.
Yeah, okay. It is.
Now they want to talk about immigration. Everybody's talking about illegal immigration is also guilty of it too, because I don't believe nobody asked the Native Americans, could they come over here and do X, Y, and Z?
There you go.
So let's go ahead and get your citizenship straight, and then they want to get an attitude over, you know, when I call up to such and such a place, they press 1 for English and 2 for Spanish. Well, you don't know their native language here.
Exactly.
So what's
and
wrong
I,
with
and
you?
I brought that to our attention last week. I was looking at something, a product, and I saw it in Spanish. I'm like, wow. And
welcome
you're right.
Welcome to the 21st century.
Exactly.
And then this dovetails over to the whole thing about Mount McKinley. Wait a minute, oh, man.
I saw that.
That is the ultimate example of white colonialism and how dare you take back what we took in a, just because you stole something don't mean it's yours.
Right. Look,
and they got nerd to be mad.
Yeah.
I was laughing. Denali, good.
And furthermore, there is a truck with the same name. The circle never ends. I
never knew that, you know, when they said Denali, so that was a whole education. I was like, oh, so that's where they stole the name for that truck from Native Americans. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
And you know what, going back to Native Americans, I have started to do just a little bit of research to try and understand, okay, the whole intent is to put with Native Americans to have them on this reservation, and so we've now clustered you in. These folks are not paying taxes. So, you know, in that vein,
and they got casinos.
You know, where we're being illegally taxed, I almost want to be a Native American.
That's right, baby.
And you can claim it.
Yes.
There you go.
For $19.95, just call me.
It's not as easy as it sounds, because I belong to I'm a tribal member of the Chern Hakanatawe. And we're in the process now of doing some things, and it's not as easy as you make it sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's always process.
It's always complicated when
it's always complicated when it can benefit.
Yeah, it's arduous,
you know,
process.
A group of people,
but you have to be persistent and consistent.
Yes,
and if you're persistent and consistent at it, you know, it can work to your benefit, as it should, because it's like this gentleman said. Nobody asked Native Americans if they could come.
Right.
They just came.
Right.
They discovered what was already here talking about, look what we found.
And then they took our women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I go to the phones, Reggie.
Hey, Tanya, how are you and your illustrious family doing?
Good. How about you?
You know, I'm laughing a little bit. Had a chance to go on the Southern Poverty Law Center website. And the dog was a politician that Donald Trump is doing. It's straight out of the playbook.
Dog whistle.
Lester Maddox. And, I mean, this is just history being revisiting itself. I mean, George Wallace talking. They're coming across the border to rape and kill our women. this is straight out of David White supremacy.
Reggie, this isn't subtle.
Dog whistle. How many people did he fleece out with those so-called casinos that he went bankrupt on?
Reggie, dog whistle politics is something subtle that can only be heard by certain folks. Trump is saying it in plain English, yo. And he's justifying saying it in plain English by throwing it onto politically correct. Well, at what point does manners end and politically correct begin?
Yes.
You feel me?
Is he still there?
I'm confused. Help me out with that. You know, that politically correct. It's like that buzzword. I mean, I hear this buzzword.
And that's exactly my point.
Correct.
That's exactly my point.
You know, these think tanks they have where they come with this BS to my politically correct, I don't want to hear that. I mean, because a lot of people will shoot straight from the hip, but be respectful. And Donald Trump is not being respectful. I mean,
I'm sorry, man,
but I understand that certain groups have their think tanks and they know to say certain buzzwords, certain dogs of politics, but... So I'm not feeling the politically correct. I'm not feeling that. Just my opinion.
Okay, Reggie, tell everybody I'm listening to your show.
Every Saturday from 11:45 to 1, and I was told this past week by man Mike and Gary was on that they scooped the NFL when they broke the news about Robert Griffin being traded. And I told the guys and said, "Well, you got to tell your own story, boys. Don't get mad at me." It's all about telling our story.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Take care, Tony. Great job.
Okay. Thank you. Too.
He had mentioned something about think tanks and wordsmithing. With these two cops that were shot that we were talking about earlier, they're referring to those cops as having been assassinated.
I know, isn't that crazy?
That is wordsmithing to be far, far greater than what it is. An assassination means that someone of some significance or influence has been killed because of what they stand for.
Mm-hmm.
These cops got shot.
And then when you say assassin to me, that means that it was planned. That's what I think of assassination. I think of it as planned. Like it was orchestrated, it was planned.
Yes.
This is not the case, especially with the guy that had mental illness. No. Mm-mm.
Cops got shot.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chocolate Chip. Love golf? Then we have the perfect tournament for you. Plan to join the Knights of Columbus Council 6457 for their annual Bishop's Cup Golf Tournament Monday, October the 12th. 18 championship holes at the beautiful Stonehenge Golf and Country Club. Sponsorship opportunities starting at $100. Only $320 for a foursome or $85 for a single player. That's Monday, October 12th at Stonehenge. Register today. Call 804-222-1105 to register. And for more info, call today. Slots are filling fast.
Reclaiming the Drum, WNXP 95.5 FM, Greenville's People Powered Radio. Reclaiming the Drum.
You're listening to AM/FM 247, music you love from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Best talk radio all day and every day.
Doc, you gotta give it to me straight.
All right.
Because I'm dying here. I mean, take a look at this letter from the IRS.
Oh, my.
This is killing me, Doc. I tell you, it's killing me.
Cheer up, my friend.
Huh?
The tax doctor is here. My diagnosis tells me that you're going to be just fine.
Really?
The tax doctor will not rest until we find you the best possible tax settlement.
Really, Doc?
Guaranteed.
If the IRS claims you owe them $10,000 or more in business or personal back taxes, call a tax doctor right now. We could save you up to 75% if you qualify. Guaranteed or you pay nothing. Call right now for free details.
800-918-7169. 800-918-7169. 800-918-7169. That's 800-918-7169.
Real Brother here. Play resumes. I wanted to invite the friends to join me for the Real Brother Radio Show, weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on the Real Brother Radio Show Network. And you can always like us on the Real Brother Radio Show Facebook page. That's the Real Brother Radio Show on the Real Brother Radio Network.com. Because the truth has value. Oh, I like that.
Hey, this is Chocolate Chip. Dreading the start of the new school year? A stressful time for parents of children with behavioral challenges. Call the Metropolitan Day School. Don't go through another year of failing grades, phone calls from the principal, and frequent suspensions. Call the Metropolitan Day School today. Licensed and accredited. 804-321-2595. Financial assistance available. Start the school year off right at the Metropolitan Day School where eagles soar. Don't wait. Call Ms. Thomas today at 804-321-2595.
To dance our way out of our constriction. Call the beat freaking up and down the hang up alleyway. With the groove I only got, we shall all be moved. Ready or not, here we come. Getting down on the one which we believe in.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll-free coast to coast. That's toll-free 844-321-1010.
Yeah, you know, it's the same question that I posed when we were off air. My question is, you know, we talk about the things that Donald Trump says, and certainly he says some outlandish things. But, you know, when you dare to dig deeper, there has to be someone or some persons behind that ideology. Because, you know, Donald is not, he is who he is, but certainly he's not an idiot. So what he does is calculated, and it's calculated for a reason.
No, he's not an idiot.
No, he's not an idiot.
But he is appealing to idiots.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely. And that's a fair statement, but who's behind that?
I don't know if somebody's behind it. I think what it is,
using him as such.
I think Donald Trump was looked down upon, you know, with regards to the GOP party. They took him to be an idiot. They didn't think he would get this far. And now he's enjoying the fact that they're like, oh, you all can't do anything to me, and you all think that I was an idiot. Now who's the idiot? That's what I think. For the mere fact that they tried to embarrass him during the first Republican debate, and to me, they went after him. Because they did not ask Chris Christie anything about Bridgegate, no. A whole lot of things they could have asked the other Republicans. They did not. They target him on purpose. And the GOP is very upset that he is saying things that people are thinking and want to know, you know, why is it that, you know, you won't come out and just say they're following the script, in other words, and he is not following a script.
That's my point.
And they can't do anything. They can't do anything with them. And the fact, too, that Jeb Bush, as boring as all get out, and can't follow a script to save his life. And if it is somebody behind Donald Trump, if he falls, I don't see how it's going to make Jeb Bush look good. I don't see how it will. I mean, Jeb Bush has said some stuff, but he talked about the Asians. Like I said, he
yeah, well, let's, well,
how,
let's,
how is that supposed to
well,
make
let's,
him?
Well, let's look at Mitt Romney. And in 2012.
Right, right.
Okay, same thing. He was the least worse, I guess,
exactly.
Candidate. However, he was the one that started off the experimental version of Obamacare, which we now have as such.
Right, that's
and
true.
And that was the argument against him.
Okay.
So, that and the fact that he was caught on video saying 40% of America did, 47% of America didn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wasn't going to even worry about 47%.
And he was talking about
us.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
yeah.
No. He wasn't talking about merely us.
Well, we were in that number.
We
were in that number.
He was
talking
about 40,
well. He was well, talking we were in the number.
47% of folks.
Well, probably people of color.
Possibly.
And economic
all white folks
status.
That vote Democrat. So.
Or some, like you said, some.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it ain't just us and,
oh, I know
and,
that.
And Asians and Latinos.
I know that. Oh, I know that.
Nearly half the country.
Chris wants to know why so many black folk are supporting Trump.
Who black folk are you talking about?
Oh, it's some out there. Believe you me.
Yeah, I'm sure
well,
that's
not confused.
And then the ones that like Maury.
I don't know
that's
if it's so many.
Supporting Trump opposed to agreeing to what some of what he's saying.
I don't know about so many, but a lot of people, I'm surprised at the number of people who aren't supporting Hillary. You know, they're not supporting Hillary. And that blew me away because there's so many of the same people 4 years ago or 8 years ago who were on the Hillary bus, and now they've jumped off the Hillary bus.
I've never been on the Hillary bus.
And it wasn't because of these emails. It just all of a sudden they don't like, so they're jumping on the Trump bus?
No, I'm not jumping on the Trump bus either. I am jumping on the bus whoever represent us as a people and our best interests.
Who's out there right now?
We haven't seen him yet.
Yeah,
who's out there? You don't think he'll? I mean, the lesser of the evils.
Yeah, without a doubt. I do want to share with you all and the listeners as well. There's a guy named David K. Johnson who's shown up on various talk shows to talk about economics and so on and so on. He has there's something that he created called the 21 Questions Donald Trump Doesn't Want to Answer or Can't Answer or something like that. Highly recommend you all check that out.
Say it again. What is it?
What's 21 called? Questions for Donald Trump.
Okay.
Because, and he said, when I found out about it, David K. Johnson said it well. It's like, what Trump wants us to talk about is what's currently going on and the rhetoric that he's throwing out. What he don't want us to talk about is these 21 questions, which includes, among other things, how come at least one of his buildings is made completely out of concrete? Not steel not a steel skeleton, but out of concrete. Excuse me. And who runs a concrete business in New York City?
Well,
plus casinos in Atlantic City and so on and so on. So there's a lot of dirt with Donald Trump.
Well, probably those questions should be asked to all the presidential candidates, not just Republicans and Donald Trump, but probably all of them. And we want to separate.
Well, those are Trump-specific things.
Okay, they're Trump-specific.
Because
okay.
He's done specific things.
Yeah.
You know, there you go. Look.
And if, and if nothing else, I'm still stuck on the when the four black teenagers were falsely accused of raping a white woman in Central Park. Donald Trump put out a full page ad in a newspaper talking about these kids need to be executed.
Okay. Oh, wow.
You didn't know about that?
No,
I didn't either.
Yeah.
When was this?
This is back in the 80s. I'm fuzzy about the exact details, but it was a white woman who was stockbroker running through jogging through Central Park, and someone assaulted her and raped her and all of this. The cops went in the area, and this is during the time when black kids were wilding out, is what they were called, or wilding. They grabbed these four kids, and they basically coerced them into confessing to this crime. Had it on videotape, how they were doing it, and so on, of how they were coercing these kids.
I remember.
Okay. They got sent to jail for this. Got sent to prison for this. Turns out that the actual person who was responsible for it was a 30-something, or he was an adult Puerto Rican that confessed to it. I don't know why or how. Probably out of the goodness of his heart, I want to say. That he had done it, and he knew details about it that only the person involved in it could know. Okay. When they got arrested, Donald Trump put out a full-page ad saying that these kids need to be executed or tried as adults or something very heinous like that. Once it then comes out that these kids are actually innocent and have been framed by the system, he did not print a retraction of his previous statement. Mm. So, in this regard, the rapist who actually did the crime is of greater stature morally and of character than Donald Trump.
How much time had they served before?
They served quite a bit of time. Plus, they're still involved in trying to get their records erased for this
clean
thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are adults now. And
you bring up a good point. As you talk about, you know, Donald Trump's previous history, we need to look at all the candidates' previous history.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, no question. And a lot of times we don't. We get to the polls the last minute, and whoever's name is stuck in our head and somebody talked about for a minute, we check that box. And that may be the very person that we check that box or vote for that's going to represent us the worst or not represent us at all.
But
it was
all,
the most harm.
All that what you just said is my one of little pet phrases, is that you're talking about the soap operas if it's real. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Obama was more likely selected than he was elected. You dig what I'm saying?
Right.
And I feel that way from Kennedy forward. But I could be just crazy. You know how I am.
Well, that might work, too. I'm kidding, of course.
Oh, no, you real?
Well, hopefully we've learned a lesson from it. I mean, how long are we going to try to do things differently? We, like I said, like sheep, we are so adamant to vote Democrat. Can we, Brian, look at other candidates other than Hillary?
I'd love to.
I would love to. But,
yeah,
but you tell me right now, of all of them out there, if you have enough knowledge, go around the table. Who would you support right now? Take out all the rhetoric, Trump.
Well, look, Biden hits the road as campaign rumors mount. So I'm waiting for Biden.
You're saying Biden for you.
If Biden gets into the race, I am looking at Biden, yes.
As far as Republicans goes, I'm still... Kasich sounds the most reasonable
lot. Right, I agree with you there.
But, you know, reasonability is all proportionate.
Well, once again, we do our history. We do our homework.
Yeah, I would love to be able to. The majority of the Republicans who I now would vote for, they have either retired or been kicked out of the party. Okay, so there is no such thing.
No, we're talking about who's in here, though. Who?
Yeah.
You say Kasich.
I would say look at Kasich as well.
He sounds the most reasonable.
Right, the most liberal.
Who you think?
I haven't seen anyone yet.
Okay.
You didn't ask me.
I was being forced into the answer cut.
I would do Biden. And
but no, we're talking about Republicans.
Not in yet.
Oh, Republicans.
We're talking about Republicans.
Kasich.
Okay.
Kasich.
And if you didn't know, we were talking strictly.
Okay, we were strictly talking about Republicans.
Yeah.
Who
me.
Did you say, Brian?
I said Kasich.
Oh, no, I thought you said Clinton.
No.
No,
you're talking about the Republicans.
They're talking about Republicans.
Okay.
Now, overall, you know what? Hillary. I don't have a problem with Hillary. I don't have a problem at all. If Hillary's running against someone from the other side, I would go for Hillary. But Kasich, if he can get his message out there,
right?
I like him. You know.
Now here's,
and he's realistic.
Here's why Democrats have a lock on the black vote is because Republicans, we know what they're going to be like towards everybody, specifically us, because of their history. Okay, so they don't really have to. Democrats don't really have to come and ask us for something because it's like, well, you cannot vote for us if you want to. Look at them.
That's true.
But why don't we approach them and see if they would at least consider our ideas?
Because what choice are you going to have?
Well, wait a minute. Democrats aren't doing it, so.
Okay, well, what's the alternative?
Why isn't that we won't approach both sides and see which one will represent us in our best interest? Because right now, we talked about the laws Clinton put in place.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
Yeah. So, they got our vote, so we can't complain because we put them in office.
That's
so
right.
Now we're going to put
Clinton was black,
so
too.
So now we're going to put another Clinton in office that may not change it or make it worse. So.
Yeah, I dig what you're saying. Again,
but like I said, we allow ourselves to be ignorant and not shop. That's the problem that I have with us.
Again,
I will say though, on the local level, we're more on the local level. We do look across party lines. I mean, we look.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Well,
you need to.
That's a problem.
Hold that thought.
After this whole Lamar and Khloé incident, you know, when he ran up on her in SoulCycle, so the altercation will definitely be on the new season of Keeping Up with Kardashians. I almost feel bad, but it's just so freaking predictable. Who writes this stuff? Oh yeah, Kris Jenner. So we all saw RG3 die on the field during preseason, and just when he was clear to play, the decision was overturned. Everybody's saying Gruden is setting him up to fail, but I'm starting to think there's some truth to it. Kirk Cousins will start the next preseason game. The Redskins saga continues. Shout out to Mike Vick for signing a 1-year deal with the Steelers. I definitely think it's going to be a good look for him. And Derrick Rose is being accused of drugging and gang raping a former girlfriend. Well, he's saying none of it's true, and he'll be proven innocent. I sure do hope so. It's not the case for Raymond Fowler and Ahmaud Brooks. They were both just indicted for rape and sexual battery by the same woman. Ahmaud's charge is misdemeanor, but Ray McDonald could face 8 years if convicted. Is there a course in this when you get to the league? How to avoid criminal charges 101 needs to be the first mandatory course for all athletes. For real, you heard it here first. I'm just saying. Check out more on my site, thesipwithcoffeeblack.com, and tune in next week on the new musicexchangeradio.com for The Sip with Coffee Black. No sugar, no cream. That's the type of girl I need down with my
team. Advertise with Tanya Free and Friends. Text the word advertise to 63975. That's 63975. Or give us a call at 844-321-1010. That's 844-321-1010.
The New Orleans Talk Network, now on your mobile device.
On your computer.
in your ear and interactive. It's new, it's innovative, and it's on your mobile device. Android, iPhone, iPad, and on your computer. Take us wherever you go. Because we're interactive. 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255.
Check out the Tanya Free and Friends Rewind every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern on the May We Help You Radio Network at MWHWRadio.com.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
We're going to go straight to the phones. We have Muhammad on line one. How are you, friend? Still there?
Hello?
Hello, Muhammad. How are you?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hey, good show.
Thank you. I like
what you're talking about. But you know what? When we talk about politics, we're only just talking. If you don't have money, they're not really trying to hear you.
And, I agree with that.
You know what I would love to see? You know what I would love to see?
What? What's that?
I would love to see Hillary Clinton in a jumpsuit because she needs to be in prison.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Okay,
wow.
Okay. Mm. Substantiate that claim, brother.
Okay, my brother. Miss Clinton has done a lot of dirty deeds. Matter of fact, I would like to see her husband in one, too.
Okay, you...
And y'all love him.
We need to, y'all, we need love to substantiate the claim.
Why do you think that,
she's done dirty deeds, blah, blah, blah. What are you talking about specifically?
Slow down, man.
Okay.
Slow down, okay?
I'm waiting
and
on you,
listen,
man,
to what I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, if you be quiet and stop your tongue, maybe you can hear me.
Okay, go ahead.
We're waiting on you to speak, man.
I'm waiting for you to be quiet. Thank you. When you look at Mr. Clinton, you see the policy that he done to you blacks. Yeah, but I love him. Yeah, he saved money, but he got rich off of you, put your people, three-strike law, in prison. Once you get a felony, you can't get no benefits, can't go to college, can't get nothing. And look at what's going on with the blacks. You get a felony, you cannot get a job. You're marked. And guess who done it? Democrats. Hillary's husband. And when you look at her, she helped him. She got people backing her, dealing with the prison, the pipeline. And y'all love her. She got your boy killed over in Egypt, and y'all love her, and y'all want her to be president? But you know what? I'm going to say this in closing. What America needs, because black people are naive, I mean, we are headed toward a dictatorship. You see all these jokers running for president. Come on now. Donald Trump, and you got a socialist in the Democrat Party. How do the hell Bernie Sanders even get in there? And y'all listen to this fool?
Okay, brother, that was a lovely soliloquy, but as I said at the very beginning of this, you need to substantiate your claims against her. Her husband has done what he's done, but he can't be president again. She's running for president. I need you to substantiate what you said about her, my brother.
Hey, you sound like...
Hold on, it ain't about what I sound like. You know what I sound like? A person that's questioning the claims
you
make.
My friend.
You ain't told me nothing about Hillary Clinton.
Okay, let's go ahead.
I'm not going to argue with you, my friend.
You haven't said anything about what she's done. That's what you called and said.
I just told you, my friend, but I'm not going to argue with you because that's what black Europeans do want to debate. I'm not want to debate.
Yeah, because you're going to lose.
I'm not waiting for a white man to come and save me. Like I said, we come in this country and own. And y'all come, and y'all been in this country for 400 years and still begging. Thank you.
Thank you, Muhammad. We appreciate
it. Right. Your call.
We're almost out of time. We're going to go to Donald on line two. Hi, Donald. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon.
Good.
How you doing?
Speak up.
Yeah, I am speaking up. I think hopefully you can hear me.
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, great. Anyway, I was just listening, and you know, my take on Bernie Sanders is if I listen to him closely and correctly, he's pretty much saying what President Obama's been saying for, you know, all these past 6 years. And so basically, to me, he's just, you know, trying to take a page out of his book and saying these things. I guess people will believe it because he's saying it and not because, you know, the president is saying it. So I kind of don't really trust going for him as far as being a potential candidate that I would vote for. I mean, Ms. Clinton, she's got experience in all of that, so, you know, she could probably make a good go of it if she were elected or even, you know, became the nominee. And as far as anybody on the Republican side, I don't even want to even think about any of those guys, because all they're trying to do is take anybody of color or not limited means, you know, just kind of put us in the back of the bus.
Okay. Thank you, Don. We appreciate your comments. Thank you, Muhammad. We appreciate your comments as well.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we got two people. Well, we got a gentleman that thinks
support
Clinton as well, and not crazy about Bernie. We didn't even mention Bernie Sanders.
Socialist.
Well, he's been an independent since he's been in Senate. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's he's an independent, but I mean socialist. Right now he's
been as down with the struggle as I guess can be expected his entire career.
I have to allude to Muhammad. Mm-hmm. There are certain points that he made that I agree with.
Well, we said at the break. We said the same thing Muhammad said during the break.
Yeah. And there's one thing that he's probably not aware of. The white man has a name for him, too.
Mm.
He may not be aware, but there is a name for him. And, you know, it's probably a little lower than us. But I do like the fact that he says, look, we come to this country and we own. So, and that's a true statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's a great point that Muhammad made and something that we should certainly listen to and should be motivated by. Okay, Muhammad, you're right. We need to own. Then we can buy you out.
Well, something else he said, we need to pull our money together, and that's one of the reasons why the political candidates do not value our vote or our concerns.
Yeah, he's right.
Because we don't put our money where our mouths are.
Well, there's also...
Again, you don't say it as Democrats. It's really real. It ain't really real.
Again, if you don't... The problem is, and what he says is, if you don't believe in what the Republicans are representing, and they're not representing right now... our interests.
Since when have they?
Then Lincoln.
When
Lincoln. So what else do you have but the status quo, which is the Democrats? So they feel like, well, we got y'all in the bag anyway.
Yes. And they do.
And it's unfortunate.
And they do.
Now how do we? Now the question.
But they have
is,
us. They have us in the bag, and we are not asking anything in return.
Well, the question.
How do we change that?
How do you change that? The only way you could change that is. Some people think the only way we can change is to sit at home.
No,
and
that's
not the right. But some people think, you know what? I don't like what any of you jokers are doing. I'm not going to vote. And unfortunately, that's not the answer.
No.
So give young folk, give people, what would you do?
Why don't we stop labeling ourselves with any label of any party and say, okay, you want our vote? Show us that you want our vote. Hold them accountable for our issues, the issues that are important to me. I bet if we start to, as a group, start to talking to Republicans, the Democrats going to look and say, whoa, we don't have that party in the bag like we thought.
Republicans have got to change their platform.
And maybe they and maybe they would if we were to sit down and say, okay, you want our vote? Show us that you want our vote. And the Democrats, would, I think, would have to say, okay, wait a minute. We don't have the blacks in our park out in the bag like we thought. We need to do something to get their attention.
I agree with the philosophy.
Because, like I said, what's going on there is not working.
I agree with the philosophy 100%. But here's the rub in it all. We know what Republicans are down for. We know what they're going to do, how they act. We also know how Democrats act and what they're down for. Between those two, you vote for one that's more, that's less against you than the
right.
other.
Aligned with
okay. I can't go with y'all on that. I can't.
How
I
don't,
because we are going along. When we start to pull together and as a people and said, okay, if they value our vote as they're going to start to doing something in order to get our vote, opposed to just getting our vote and we get absolutely nothing.
Their platform right now mm-hmm. is not in line with our values.
No. When was the last time we tried to approach the Republicans? Have the Black Lives Matter started to approach the Republicans yet? And do we have a response?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this: there are not enough of us in order to circumvent their
existing
base.
It has to be in numbers. That's what makes the difference. That one or two, but in numbers. Go to the phone right quick, Akil. How are you?
How you doing? Can I be heard?
Yes.
Hi. Good afternoon. I'm at work right now. So
that's okay. No problem.
Might be a little. Two comments I want to touch on with the brother Muhammad was talking about, I guess, couldn't substantiate what his problem with Ms. Clinton was, is, for one, she's definitely a hawk and imperialist. Mm-hmm. As you know, she recently published her memoirs where she explicitly confesses to being a part of the ouster and the coup d'etat of Zelaya in the, I can't remember what South American country right now, but she explicitly.
And she was also involved in Petro Caribe, too.
You go ahead.
No, I'm saying she was also involved in the Petro Caribe issue as well. If you don't know about it, check that out. It affected Haiti.
Indeed. So what I'm saying is basically, if we're looking at Ms. Clinton as a potential candidate for commander-in-chief and, president of the United States, you have to say, well, do you want a commander-in-chief who is adamant about change in leadership of democratically elected leaders of other nations, which is seems to be like the basic foreign policy of the United States, and of course, you all obviously know the history of foreign intervention in other countries and things like that. And so, what we're dealing with in the Ukraine and so on.
Unfortunately,
yeah, we're almost out of time.
Unfortunately, that's just America's SOP. Just anyway.
Yeah, well, so I'm saying, if you want the status quo, if you want things to stay the same, then of course, yeah, go with Hillary. If you want something different, then you want to look somewhere else.
Like who? Like who?
Thank you, Akil. We appreciate it.
Okay, can I make one more point real quick?
Yep.
Go ahead.
All right, so on Bernie Sanders, like I'm not really sold on Bernie Sanders right now, but the difference between Bernie Sanders and Barack Obama is Barack Obama is a neoliberal. So his policies and his rhetoric may be one thing, but his policies, like Bill Clinton, and which I would assume Hillary Clinton would be the same, is really not conducive to world peace, for one, and the things that we're looking for as far as better economic situations and relationships with the United States and other countries. And I'll leave it at that and let y'all talk about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Akil. We appreciate that. Well, let me say this because we're almost out of time, and I'll let you all respond. Let me give a shout-out to my friend Clarence McGill, who will be on Roland Martin's show on September the 8th, promoting his book, The Syracuse 8. Please tune into that. And also, he's going to be on Cowboy Reggie's show, Sports Talk, on, September the 10th. And that's on WCLM 1450. Tune into that as well. Go ahead, Ray. Oh, we don't even have time to respond to Akil's comment. We'll do that one next time. As always, I thank God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for allowing us the opportunity to speak and hopefully hers. Thanks to our listening friends. Blessings to each and every one of you. Thanks to Van, TG, Brian, Pete, Marcus, Antoinette, Jeremiah, Coffee Black, El Bravador, Roosevelt, Mr. Free. I'm Tanya Free. Until next time, be free. Remember to live life with a purpose.